Good morning, everybody. I'm going to pass out actually a copy of our tool that we created just so you could pass it around while I'm talking and take a look. Okay. First, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues who helped create this educational tool, Tracy Meehan, Nicole Hodges, and Gary Smith. We're all members of the Center for Injury Research and Policy at the Nationwide Children's Hospital. And to advance it, I can just use the...
Just regular award.
Okay. I have no relationships to disclose. So injuries due to motor vehicle crashes continue to be the leading cause of trauma-related death. And child safety seats and booster seats are effective protection for children in the event of a crash. So we know that booster seats can save lives and reduce injury. About 350 children between the ages of 4 and 7 die in traffic crashes each year, and that's the age generally for booster seat use, and about 50,000 are injured in that age group. And we know that booster seat use is low despite existing educational campaigns and messages urging their use. In 2007, NHTSA did a study where they observed kids in cars. They looked at cars that were pulling up to gas stations, restaurants, daycare centers, and recreational centers. They observed about 7,000 children in about 4,000 vehicles at about 400 different places. And what they found was about 37% of kids in that age group were actually in booster seats. So use is very low. And there's several states that still don't have a comprehensive child restraint law, including our own state of Ohio. Those other states that don't have this legal requirement yet are Alaska, Arizona, Minnesota, South Dakota, Texas, and Florida. So through a partnership with and funding from a national insurance company, Nationwide Foundation, our objective was to develop and evaluate and disseminate an innovative educational tool using the precaution adoption process model to guide families toward correct and consistent booster seat use until their children can safely use an adult restraint system. I'll do a little short explanation about the precaution adoption process model. Have people heard of this model before or used it? Okay. The precaution adoption process model, or the PAPM as we call it, is a cognitive framework for behavioral change. It's a stage-based model, and it describes a person's readiness to adopt a new health behavior. The stages in the model describe the continuum of movement through distinct behavioral stages, and they culminate in the adoption and maintenance of a precautionary behavior. The PAPM suggests that people at different points in the process of adopting a health behavior behave in qualitatively different ways. And the type of information and intervention that's needed at different stages to move somebody closer to that desired behavior, and that can vary from stage to stage. So our educational tool provided simple, focused, literacy-level appropriate messages based on relevant stages in the adoption of this behavior. So if you need more convincing about why to use this model, I'll do one more slide about it. This model is appropriate for injury prevention because in the language of the model, it actually mentions the words hazard and precaution, and it really can be applied to any health behavior. This model was created to look initially at testing radon in your home and where people were in that process of not even being aware of what radon was or the need to test for it, all the way through testing their homes for radon. The staging process to assign someone to a stage in this model is a pretty simple and direct method, and it really can help provide more information regarding the adoption of a behavior, more so than just asking somebody if they use a booster seat or they don't use a booster seat, because that really doesn't tell us where to intervene with them. Is it that they've never heard why to use a booster seat? Are they not convinced that it's safe? Do they think their child is old enough for the seatbelt? So just simply that yes or no doesn't really tell us how to help them. And then what I mentioned before, the intervention strategies can be tailored to a particular stage in the model. And this model has been applied to other health behaviors, namely osteoporosis prevention, radon testing, and others. Okay. Our target population was Ohio parents and caregivers of children 4 to 8 years old. And secondarily, nationwide insurance agents, because we created this tool to give to the agents that they could distribute them to their clients or prospective clients, and that we could also distribute in the community. So we went through several steps to develop our tool. The first was to convene an expert panel. We had a discussion with Ohio child passenger safety experts who work with families on a daily basis, helping them with booster seats or car seats. And we asked them, what kind of information do we need to give parents? What do you see as the problem? Why are people aren't using booster seats? And what do we need to tell them? And they mentioned several things, including they said you need to include the 5-step test on the tool, and I'll explain a little bit more about what that is. You need to have a height, weight, and age table, something where parents could figure out if my child is this age and weighs this much, what kind of seat should they be in? We needed to describe who needs a booster seat, why a booster seat's important, and injuries that can occur when a booster seat is not used, so the dangers or the risks, and then proper fitting of a seat belt, how it should be threaded, and how it should fit a child. We needed to show all of those things or explain all of those things. Our second step in the creation of this tool was to do focus groups with parents. We had 2 focus groups with parents of children between 4 and 8 years old. Our first focus group had users, what we called users, people who were using booster seats for their children, and we asked them, why do they use them? What helped convince them to do it? Any problems that they have while using seats, things like that. And then we had a second focus group that consisted of non-users, people who weren't currently using booster seats for their children, and asked the same kinds of questions. The users told us that they acknowledged that booster seats were necessary but also inconvenient. So that's something we needed to address. The users told us they stressed the positive benefits of use and reinforced the importance of consistent use. And said that these would be critical tactics to encourage continued and consistent use. Non-users were not aware of the safety benefits of booster seats. Non-users recommended that the tool should include simple, credible statistics regarding injury and risk rates for children in booster seats versus seat belts. So a lot of parents in the non-user group thought the seat belt is the safest thing for my child at that age, and weren't aware that that could actually be more of a danger. So we needed to have that information. And non-users also wanted basic information about boosters, including height and age, recommendations and instructions for use and troubleshooting. Parents in both groups told us that pediatricians and the internet were 2 primary sources of information about booster seats. And interestingly, the user group told us that everyone in the user group had said, my pediatrician told me to use a booster seat. Everyone in the non-user group, their pediatrician had never mentioned it. So I thought that was really interesting. So the third step in our process was to develop concept design. So what was this tool going to look like? And based on the findings from the expert panel and the focus groups, we had a graphic design team come up with 2 concepts. With the criteria that this educational tool would be engaging, it would be a handheld tool, that sponsor agents could distribute to their clients, and that we could later use in the community. So the two concepts, you can see the first one was a car. It was literally shaped like a car, and the 2 wheels had, you could turn the wheel on the wheel, and there'd be a little cutout to reveal some messages. And the doors opened to reveal pictures of a child inside in a booster seat, and the back had more information as well. I didn't show that on the slide. And then the second one was the slide rule concept, where there were actually pictures of children with questions beneath each picture, and when you pulled down on the orange tab at the bottom, those boxes would reveal other messages, and the back also had information and more photos. Our next step was to get some input from the insurance agents. So we found that, let me go back. The objectives for this meeting with the insurance agents were to get feedback about the 2 proposed designs, and also help us understand how they might use this tool and what other features they might need with it. So the agents were receptive to the idea of having this kind of tool. They felt like it would be really great for their to either get new clients or to show that they were really interested in their clients' safety and their families. They had concerns about the cost of purchasing the tool or delivering the tool to their clients. they said they would be more likely to use this tool if it were part of a safety campaign or an incentive program that was implemented and supported by the funder organization. So they said if our insurance agent or our insurance company says that we should do this, we'll really get behind it. They also told us they needed a place to personalize the tool. So if you'll notice on the back of that when you're passing it around, there's a space at the bottom that has a shaded area. This was made so that people could, or the agents could actually put a stamp with their contact information on the tool or put a label over that spot so that parents would know to contact them if they had questions or if they had, you know, interest in getting more of these tools, I suppose. Okay, I've gotten a warning that I need to wrap up, so I'm going to move on. The next step in our process was to select which design we were going to use. And we had one final focus group with parents to help us choose the design. And during this focus group, they told us that both designs were received very favorably, but the pull tab was received more positively. When the participants compared the two, they thought the car tool was actually more attractive, but the pull tab was more useful. They thought their kids might pull apart the car tab, they thought they might rip the doors off, the wheels would get messed up, so they actually felt like the pull-down one was going to be better. And they also responded positively to the hospital logos and the sponsor logos, which was the concern of ours. If we put Nationwide Insurance or Nationwide Foundation, what are they going to think this is for? Are they going to think it's a credible tool? And when we added our institutional logo, they felt it was a really credible source and a nice partnership with that community group. Okay, so this is what the tool looks like if you haven't received it in the crowd yet, passing it around. The front of the tool, it's formatted like a slide rule so that each user receives highly focused and relevant messages that are related to his or her stage of adoption of a car or booster seat use. The tool is two-sided and has a pull-down insert. Attached to the top left corner is a retractable tape measure, and we included this tape measure so that parents could actually measure how tall their child was to know if they are actually tall enough to be out of a booster seat or they're still small enough they need to be in the booster seat, because people sometimes know the weight of their child but might not know their height, and height is really important when you're figuring out booster seat stuff. And I'm just going to show you. So if you pull down the tab, the messages would show through the different boxes and the cutouts at the top. Okay, move on here. Our implementation and evaluation piece was parents of 4 to 8-year-old children receiving care at a pediatric primary care clinic. They were approached, consented, and enrolled by a clinic at the clinic by a study recruiter. We did a pre-assessment survey and delivered this tool to the parent. We did that with 62 parents. For those that needed a booster seat, they received a free voucher, which they could pick up a booster seat from our center later. And then we did a post-assessment phone survey with 51 of those participants. These are some of our evaluation results. We had a significant increase in knowledge about booster seat use. 55% showed positive movement towards a higher stage in the model following receipt of the tool. 20% who reported perfect booster seat use at the beginning in the pre-assessment, we had 45 at post-assessment who were showing perfect behavior. And for those with less than perfect behavior at the beginning, 81% showed positive movement following the receipt of the tool. We also had self-reported booster seat use increase from 36% at enrollment to 59% at follow-up. So the safety boost distribution. With the first grant that we received, we were able to actually create the tool and print 5,000 of the safety boost tools. In our original grant proposal, we thought we'd only be able to produce 1,000, but because we were able to manage the money really well with this project and actually printing more of something makes them cost less, we were actually able to print 5,000. So we gave 2,500 to Nationwide agents, and we kept 2,500 to distribute to the community. With a second round of funding from the same foundation, much less than the first one, we were able to actually print 10,000 because we'd already created the tool and had it ready to go. We just need to print with that money. We put a new hospital logo on there because we changed from Columbus Children's Hospital to Nationwide Children's Hospital in the middle of this process. But we were able to distribute 10,000 of the tools the second round. And right now we're currently seeking additional funding to keep printing this tool. And one thing I wanted, well, let me give you a conclusion slide and one final thought. Given this kind of tool, parents can be encouraged to effectively use booster seats and reduce the risk of serious injury to their children. We found it to be very effective and well-received by the community. And one thing I wanted to mention, not that this is a plug for the people that we used printing, but I thought you people might, you know, might be interested in this if you're doing other printed materials. The group that we used was called Richardson Printing. They have a program called Partners in Philanthropy. And what they do, if you have them print your project or print your materials, they give you a 20% discount that they refund back to you. So if you spend $5,000 printing something, you will get a check from them for $1,000 back. So this really helps you keep your project going a little bit longer. So just in case people wanted to know about that, Richardson Printing.
That's nice.
All right, that's it.